welcome back to part two of the Intensity mini-series. In the last episode, we covered what failure is and how muscle is built and what the research says about training intensity and its implications on recovery and growth. And we then linked them together. We illustrated why we don't have to train all the way to failure and how it can actually do more harm than good. So now we can move forward and we can talk about how to actually train for our goals to maximize progress and gains whilst also minimizing recovery debt. So we know mechanical tension, motor unit recruitment, and muscle fiber activation, they increase steadily as you get closer to fatigue with heavy enough loads or high enough repetitions. So, and then it plateaus around 3 to 5 reps of failure, right? The jury's still out on the exact best number, but it's roughly about 3 to 5 reps shy of failure, meaning once you get to those last 2 to 4 or 5 reps, you have stimulated all of the fibers, the muscle fibers we talked about in part one, more than enough to get the same amount of adaptation you would doing those extra reps without actually doing them and increasing recovery debt and stress on the body and the joints. And then we talked about, we brought up the topic of that you can build the same muscle all the way from 5 rep sets all the way to the 30 reps. So, and this is where that myth of 8 to 12 reps being the only rep range for hypertrophy came from, and only 1 to 5 for strength, and only 15 to 30 for endurance. And it doesn't actually work like that. And you, if you listen to part one, if you didn't, go back, because we're going to talk about some things that you'll need that in-depth understanding. But if you did listen to part one, you know this, because we talked about how the only things that matter for muscle building is muscle damage, metabolic stress, and mechanical tension. Nothing in the research says you can only train between 8 to 12 reps to get muscle building. And whilst I agree it is a very good spot to train because you get the best of both worlds, and it's where I recommend most people train, and it's how I coach, also depending on goals, you can build just as much muscle doing sets of 5 reps as you can doing 30 reps, as long as you are close enough to failure and the volume equates. So the downsides, though, can be that if you're doing the heavier weight that you're doing for 5 reps, it can get very demanding on the joints and the nervous system if it's all you are doing. Like if every single exercise you are doing is around the 5 rep range, it's going to be very demanding. Whereas the high reps, the downsides, it can just be shit to do. Like you have to do so many reps and it can get tiring and boring and you've got that constant burn. Like who wants to actually do 30 rep sets all the time? I can tell you not. I can tell you definitely not me. So what's the go? Doing a combination of all the rep ranges between 5 and 30 is quote-unquote ideal or optimal. Like depending, but it also depends on what you want to achieve out of your training. So for the first example, like if you want to be strong and also make some good muscle, you'd want to be doing less reps more often than not, because strength, as we know, is the ability to produce force. And this comes from increasing load or weight on the bar and training your body to be efficient at creating force. Whereas if you just want to move your body and grow a bit of muscle, but you don't care about strength as much as a priority, higher reps are going to be fine, because as long as you're still getting close to failure. Because remember, you're going to stimulate a lot of muscle fibers by getting close to that failure, because that increases the demand on the muscle and the brain to recruit as many fibers for stimulation as possible. But then remember, you'll also stimulate a lot of muscle fibers by just lifting heavy without the need to pump out a million reps and have your muscles burning so much. The lower rep stuff, usually like 5 to 8 or so, that's going to allow you to increase the need for force production, so that heavy weight, and increase motor unit recruitment that way without having to suffer through that burning feeling and puffing like an unfit powerlifter who's just climbed up one set of stairs. And if you're listening to this, you know who you are. The higher rep stuff, usually the 15 to 25 reps in my prescription, but also as we know you can go up to 30, that's going to allow you to increase fatigue of the muscle, and then in return, the brain is going to have to call upon and stimulate and recruit more muscle fibers, because the ones you've already recruited are now fatigued and can't do any more. And you get close to that failure point without bashing up your joints and your nervous system with those heavy loads. And then you're probably thinking, okay, but how do you actually know if you're getting close to failure though? Buckle up, because this is the juicy stuff. So let's say you know you can do 15 reps of a leg press and not a single more before your form breaks down and your body starts doing wacky shit and spasming to get the weight up like we talked about, right? And this can obviously can be any exercise. I'm just going to use the leg press example. Let's say you know you can do 15, right? You should only perform 10 to 12 out of those 15 and leave those few reps in the tank. That 10 to 12 is going to give you the same result adaptations-wise, but won't lead to that excess stress and recovery debt. Or let's say you could physically only do 10 reps of a chest press, not a single more, even if there was a gun to your head, right? You should only perform 6 to 7 of those potential 10 and leave a few reps in the tank. Like, you could physically do 10, but you're only doing 6 or 7 on purpose. Those 6 or 7 are going to be enough load and volume to maximize the motor unit recruitment and the mechanical tension without driving you into that unnecessary fatigue. Now, let's say you've been training for 4 to 5 weeks. We now need to account for the fact you're probably going to be stronger. And this is where the weight starts to feel easier and the sets aren't as hard because you're stronger. Like, that's a good thing. Well done. The body has adapted and now the weight you were doing is no longer adequate to an adequate stress to trigger growth, right? And this is the problem. Most people will just stay at that weight and do the same reps. And this is where people plateau or they begin to not see progress anymore and they wonder why. And then what they do is they either change their program or change the exercise or they train more or whatever. But you need to change something to actually progress, right? We need to give the body a reason to adapt. That weight you could only physically do 10 reps for, you could actually probably now after those 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, you could actually probably do 12 or 14 if you tried that to failure set again of the 10. So now you can do two, three or four more. If you just keep doing those 6 or 7 you started with at that same weight, you're actually 6 to 8 reps away from failure and it's not enough to stimulate the muscle for adaptation. Remember, RPE 7 is about 3 reps from failure, RPE 8 is about 2 reps from failure, right? If you are 6 to 8 reps away from your true failure point, it's like an RPE of 3 to 5, and we know the research shows that it isn't enough to maximize growth and strength. And this is where you have two choices, and it links back to that 5 to 30 rep discussion. If your goal is strength and muscle and you hate doing high rep sets, you'd want to increase the weight. So let's say you were doing 3x6 of 20 kilos on the chest press, and this is theoretical, like it depends on the individual and everything. You can now try 22.5 or 20-25 and continue to do the 3x6, and you've increased the demand on the muscles and kept yourself close to failure, but you're still leaving reps in the tank, but you're increasing the load by doing more weight of the same reps. Or let's say you're one of those unicorns out there who love the burn and love doing extremely high volume work. You could keep it at 20 kilos and now instead of 6 reps, you could just do more reps. So now you're doing 10 reps. Again, you're still leaving reps in the tank because you could actually get 12 to 14 of that same weight. Remember that you got stronger, but you're increasing your volume and demand on the muscle by doing a couple of extra reps than you were before. Magic, I know. This, of course, and this is half of the problem, is it all comes with trial and error and practice and using strategies to figure out if you're actually going that close to failure. And this is where it gets tricky and most people slip up. It's been shown that people often highly underestimate what they're capable of in an exercise. So people may think they're only doing 15 or they could only do 15 and then they plan everything off of that 15 reps, right? But if someone had a gun to their head or was motivating them, they could actually get 20 to 25, right? So now you doing that 10 to 12 reps, you're actually 10 to 15 reps away from failure. And we know you have to be within about 3 to 5. So people, there's a lot of things, like it comes from not having the discipline or the motivation to push hard or the tolerance of pain and a low pain and discomfort threshold. And this is where the problem comes. This comes with experience and learning your actual physiological limits, your tolerances, not just the limits you place because you're tired or you can't be bothered putting in effort. And like I said in the last episode, you can't train someone to train harder. Like, they have to want to do it and they have to learn how to do it. You can't just motivate someone and then them start actually training hard. And the problem is we don't want training to become extremely easy and you barely break a sweat, because we know stopping so short of failure, like stopping 4 to 5 reps in a set when you actually could have done 10 reps to failure, it's not enough and you're leaving gains on the table. And you're probably thinking, cool, I get it, like I understand that. But Hayden, like how do I know if I'm actually leaving 3 to 5 reps in the tank and not like fucking 12, 13, 14 like you were saying? And you're going to hate me, but I have to leave you hanging. Going into the season, it's like going into the season finale of your favorite show where they dramatically, the freaking episode finishes, you're on a high and they go, tune in next Tuesday to find out. But that is what I'm going to do to you. So seriously, final episode of the mini series will be out soon. I'll dive into a few strategies to help you know if you're actually training as hard as you think, and a few strategies that can help you calibrate your brain's ability to estimate how hard a set was, and then how you can use rate of perceived exertion to gauge your training intensity properly, and why it's better than percentage-based training, and how you can actually use both long-term to help your training progress and recovery and adaptations and stuff in the long term. So until then, peace.